got more of a say and more of an important image to tell us. Hello, welcome to Punta Vista. It's episode 379. Here you are at Gay Gallipoli. Date is April 25th, 1915. Surrounded by about 16,000 of your closest mates and comrades, we're about to spend the day at the beach. Looking over at a very tall man, one of your fellow members of the 1st Brigade, a brother that you'd be willing to lay down your life for, you think to yourself, gee, Ben is really eating with that slouch hat. And with that little cinched-in waist belt on that green coat, he is looking snatched and like a skinny legend. Ben, before you sashay away, would you say it's more important to serve your country or serve cunt?
Fuck me. Now, for the record, Lucy, you're a queer woman. You're bisexual.
Yeah.
You can't be mad
so
at us.
So I can say these things.
Yes, unless you're a veteran, and then you can still be mad at us.
But you're probably not a World War I veteran.
Probably not. I don't know. I feel like we have a sort of appeal that transcends age barriers. No one would be alive still, would they? Because they'd be like 115 years old, 116.
Yeah, they'd be like 116 years old.
Yeah, it's probably not that, I guess.
If they were at Gay Gallipoli.
Yes. I don't know enough World War. I don't have enough World War One history to get a pun in on any of this. But if we circle back in like a minute after I've read some Wikipedia articles, I might have something
read
there.
Read the wiki, go through the belligerents and whatever, and, you know, come back to
me. Yeah, how about the brats of Tobruk? Am I right?
Thanks.
Is that World War One? With the rats of Tobruk in... I'm going to Wikipedia article. Let's circle back. To it.
Yeah. Also with us at the aforementioned Gay Gallipoli is a filthy Frenchman. This twink over here has been chain-smoking those long feminine cigarettes. We have no idea where he got him, but he will not let you have one, even if you ask him very nicely. He won't pick up a gun, has refused to wear the uniform, and has been spending the entire campaign on Turkish Grinder. Hey, French Andrew. Do you think you could maybe give us like a bit of help over here slaying some belligerents or?
No.
All right.
Great.
Well then, also with us is an ally and a different kind of belligerent. A drunken Irishman confused about our battalion's orders and asking when he can start shooting at the British. Joining us, co-host of Beneath the Skin and Lions Led by Donkeys podcast, it's Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us at Gay Gallipoli.
Yeah, we're instead of the belligerents, you know, flying colours above the all the battlefield, everyone is just assigned a various assorted versions of the hanky code. That's how you gauge the rules of engagement. I mean, the hanky code is just rules of engagement, really, but in the club.
Oh, my God, it's the fourth royal piss receivers.
I mean, Gallipoli really was a no-loads refused party, so.
Shit. Oh, man.
I suppose when you put it that way, yeah.
Can I, 2 points I want to make here. Rats of Tobruk, World War II.
Yep.
And also, Turkish Grinder is like an exotic coffee-making method. I recently spent $130 on a Turkish Grinder, but it's made a massive difference to the taste of my coffee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's when you think they're handing you the coffee and then they take it back and then they hand it to you again and take it back.
Hey, the Gay Gallipoli intro, that's the sort of thing that makes you go, what the? And we look at other what the stories in a segment we call What The.
Right now, though, it's What The.
Oh, didn't know we had that.
Yeah. I feel like maybe Rove McManus is one of the most kind of impenetrable Australian cultural things.
And I'm sure Tom is not aware of what Rove McManus is.
Ever heard of a small gentleman called Rove McManus?
My exposure to Australian culture is my brother-in-law is from Tasmania. One of my friends is a doctor from the Gold Coast and just all of the inscrutable Australians that live in Clapham in London.
Mm-hmm. Right. And none of them have told you about Rove McManus.
They've never mentioned Rove McManus.
Yes. The most Australian sounding name of
So he's a guy that was on TV for ages. He had like a primetime talk show slash talk variety show kind of thing.
Big celebrities on there sometimes.
Yeah, it was kind of like somebody had set up an imitation of like Late Night with David Letterman, but without the jokes.
Yeah, it was like if someone that you knew that was like kind of funny, like from your office where he's like funny-ish. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's also like the most famous guy on TV.
Yeah, yes. He's as big as it gets.
So he's Australia. Kind of just droll and not necessarily funny.
His big bit was asking celebrities, who would you turn gay for?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then our Prime Minister said, my wife.
Turn gay for my wife.
I don't know if he was the Prime Minister at the time. He might have been in his election campaign. God.
Just a little boyish guy.
Just a great little snippet of Australian culture.
And he had a segment where he'd say, what the? And... And then it was like on the late night shows where they'd put up a card with something on it. Jay Leno would go, "Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?" And he'd have a thing that was kind of weird, and he'd make a joke about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was that.
Except
that was
the
it.
The thing that he held up, because I was watching a bunch of clips today for no reason. was like the size of like a regular like a 4x6 photo print that you would get from like. When you went to get your photos developed, like it's tiny. So he's just a guy at a desk holding up a really small photo of like an odd misspelling on a Chinese restaurant menu, like really low stakes goofs and gaffes sent in by just rando viewers of the show. When I was like 14, a restaurant that I worked at featured in the segment.
Wow.
Because they had put up signs in the windows that said, please refrain from licking the windows. Because it's like a suggestion that the food inside was oh so delicious.
Oh. I was having a conversation with my children yesterday. We were talking about social media and when they may or may not eventually end up having access to it. Mm-hmm. And because they listen to us too much, they're like, probably never. You know, and I was saying, I think you've kind of missed the window of social media being like having any value to be on anyway. Like Facebook is just like a big slop pipe now, you know, and I was kind of so I found myself explaining to them that in my youth, we had a TV show called Australia's Funniest Home Videos Show, modeled off of America's Funniest Home Videos Show, in which people would send in tapes. Of you know, when they had their home video machines and it was novel and you could record stuff, and then you might happen to catch something like someone getting hit in the nuts by a football, or even better, an elderly family member falling down and hurting themselves quite badly. But the point was that like you happened to be recording when something unusual or funny happened, you sent it in. The winner got some nominal prize. And I was like, so now all of social media is just that, except everybody's setting up the videos.
Yeah, fail compilations.
And acting
them
out.
And they play them in the bar on the TV.
Yeah. It's not even fail compilations now. It's just two people like pretending to have an argument.
Yeah.
Or something funny happening.
Or alternatively, it's just someone experiencing a very severe mental health crisis and just like on the public transport and someone's recording it.
Oh man, have you guys seen there's these two people I really want to kill.
Number one.
Oh, we're breaking out that list. I didn't know it was this episode. I could pull it up on my phone.
Come prepared.
There are these two, I believe they're English, and it's like a guy in his 50s, and I think the other person is usually holding the phone filming it, but they act out fictional scenarios presented as if they're real, where one person is being really obnoxious and the other person is filming it as if it's happening to them. And they've gone viral a shitload of times. One of them was like the old guy knocks on someone's door and he's like, hey, you changed your Wi-Fi password, but I was using your Wi-Fi. And then they have a Karen style argument.
Oh, I saw there's one loads the other day. Of this. It's everywhere on TikTok.
Where like something that used to be like a big Marine Todd style text post is now like these fucking weird 50 or 60 year old people that are just harvesting video views by pretending to be Karens at each other. And it is, they've got to feel fucking stupid while they're doing it.
Yeah, but surely. Check the comments and then you feel like the smartest person on earth.
People, so,
I've actually...
Wow, this is so rude.
I have been witnessing a full circle back to, like, Australia's Funniest Home Video cultural shift here, where because I like to, like, inflict psychic damage on myself by watching a video on, like, Twitter and then letting it autoplay more videos to me, or I'm the one guy who's watching Instagram Reels, you know?
Oh, God.
And what I've started to see pop up in both of these things is, like, a video of just your normal... you know, 5-year-old, 10-year-old meme shit of like a cat licking an ice cream and getting a brain freeze or whatever the fuck. But like, there's a laugh track over it.
Mm-hmm.
They've put laugh tracks over like old meme footage of like someone going and laughing at the thing. So you know to laugh at the thing because it's funny. And it's really done a number on me seeing this come up and just... In the same way that, like, all these different disruptive tech companies eventually have to circle back around to, like, Netflix just going, oh, what if you didn't pay for it and it was just fucking crammed full of ads? Yeah, Turns out that works, you know?
Everything bends back towards the, like, network television
the
model.
The only model that has ever been shown to make money, you know? And that's kind of happening with, like, videos for dipshits online.
Yeah.
It's just circling all the way back around to if we have somebody honking with happiness, you'll know that you're supposed to be laughing now. And
hey, wait a second. I should be honking.
Oh.
I am honking.
Does Pavlovians honk?
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is from the Associated Press with a headline that Lucy has picked from a different article because she liked it better.
Yeah,
and you know what, Lucy? You're right to do so. So this is a headline from Bangkok News. Lazio fire far-right falconer after online penis posting.
That's nice. I like the alliteration in there. That rolls, you know.
I've been informed it's Lazio.
Oh, I thought that was with two Zs is when you go with a...
I'm really hooked immediately. Like, I want to know what type of penis posting he was
Lazio
doing.
Lazio fire far-right falconer after online penis posting.
Like,
does
he hook? Has he put like a little swastika on the bell end of his cock?
Well,
like,
I think the right wing stuff's unrelated.
The original headline that I had for this did not mention the far right stuff at all. So it felt like an absolute fucking T-bone when you got to the end of the article. And you will still be T-boned by this. Lazio has fired the man who handled the Italian soccer club's eagle mascot after he posted photos and videos online of his own prosthetic penis.
Okay.
Yeah. Falconer Juan Bernabe shared the images on his private social media accounts after undergoing surgery for a penile implant, which he said was for non-medical reasons.
Like pointing it out?
Yes! No,
I want to stress.
I just wanted this.
That's like a gift to us, the podcasters. Because if he didn't say it was for non-medical reasons, we might have been sort of making fun of someone for something that was in a way maybe gender-affirming for them or something. But instead he's like, oh, no. No.
I'd love to stress that this was elective penis surgery.
Yeah, instead of getting, you know, the silicone beads put underneath the foreskin, you're just getting a silicone swastika.
That's right.
Banging it straight like in there.
It's a real, like, subtle way to, like, get around, like, Zeke Heil laws. It's just, you're getting arrested for flashing, but it's somehow far-right flashing.
Well, they were going to censor it anyway. Bernabe also gave an interview to controversial Italian radio show La Zanzara on Monday and elaborated on his reasons for undergoing the procedure.
Because his dick was too small. Presumably.
Yeah, because he had a little dick and he didn't like it. He didn't like his own penis. What is wrong with us as a society that we teach men to hate their own penises?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awful?
We need penis bonus positivity, you know?
Yes. Hey, your little dick can still do stuff. I'm talking to you, the listener.
It's not the size of the boat. It's the motion of the ocean. Unless it's like really
unless
small.
It's really small.
I don't
really
think it can
small.
Do anything. I think it's useless.
Or alternatively, like your girth master, and it's just like, okay, I've just been like, I'm in a little dinghy, and it's just a giant cruise liner just crashes into you. It's like,
yeah,
man, I don't know if you guys remember
that in my life.
The girth master got like interviewed by a random sort of like street influencer for something completely unrelated. It was like asking about like what his income was or whatever. And he's like, oh, by the way, I'm the girth master.
And every woman watching this interview is doing the Leo pointing at the TV.
Who's that?
Once upon a time in LA.
Who?
There he is.
But he was, it was in Queen Street Mall, I'm pretty sure, which is like one of the...
Oh, I think I saw that.
Yeah, it was so weird to be like, holy fuck, they got the girth master and he's here in my city?
Oh, because it was one of those street interviews where they're like, what do you do for a job and how much money do you make? And he was like, I do OnlyFans and I make $1 billion from everybody who wants to look at my Coke can.
Yeah, what's up, love? I'm the girth master.
He's got the, he does have the extra large monster energy can.
I mean, incredible just like branding for yourself. It's like, oh yeah, I just like do OnlyFans. I have a massive cock. Just like straight out the gate. And like, there you go.
Yeah, well, it's kind of nice because you don't want to be sleazy about it. You don't want to be like, oh, well, actually, I'm an adult entertainment star and I have a huge penis. You want to be casual.
Going to parties and looking like you're going to explode until somebody says,
what do you do?
So what do you do? Yeah. I'm on my defense model. I got a giant cock. It's so fucking big.
I'm the girth master.
Now I can relax and just like have a beer.
And now I can just be normal. I can just hang out because I told everyone that I'm the girth master.
A t-shirt. Ask me about my exceptional cock.
Yeah. Oh, everybody here, you all know? Everybody knows that I'm the girth master?
Great. Gather around. I've got an announcement to make.
Yes, I am wearing my custom-made formal shorts to accommodate my massive member. Just like a little third leg in the middle of the shorts, just so he doesn't get any chafing from the seam.
Custom tearaways, where there's also a tearaway crotch.
We should get the girth master on. I bet he's a great podcast guest.
100%. Like, I from finding out that this actually works, girth master, please come on Boonta Vista.
Maybe he's listening. Girth master, if you're listening. Come on over.
It will be very funny to find out that like Girthmaster is just a massive Boonta Vista fan.
Oh, that'd be really funny. God, he just looks like such a normal... I've seen that guy at the pub like 100 times, hey?
Yeah.
He's just like average Australian man.
I've seen that guy a few other times as well. Different circumstances.
Yeah, I've seen him 100 times too. Yeah.
Oh, man. Bonomi added that he felt very proud and more masculine being part of Lazio.
Can I raise a...
Is Lazio being part of a particularly Lazio, right? Masculine club?
Is that related to the...
Lazio's kind of a fascist club.
I thought this was running on from his reasons for undergoing the procedure, that he felt very proud and more masculine. But no, that's about the football club.
What, but no, is he saying he needed to feel more masculine to be part of Lazio?
Didn't feel masculine enough. The atmosphere at the club, so masculine that I was like, I got to put some work in. I got to spend some money on this thing.
I got to get that Girthmaster surgery.
Yeah.
Can you give me the Girthmaster?
Yeah. Just Girthmaster me.
Girthmaster me.
Wow. My 7 inches aren't cutting it. I got to bump this thing up.
It's like, I just got to look like a forearm.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to have like a fleshy scepter. Also sent you the wonderful Wikipedia page for SS Lazio supporters.
Oh, seems so bad.
Okay.
So it's known as like a very sort of right-wing club, is that the deal? I know nothing about like the various tiers and stratas of European football clubs.
Yeah, like I'm not a huge like football fan, but being like a massive like politics nerd, is like Italian football just has a massive fascism problem.
Oh my god.
They also hate the Irish too, so that's good news.
Yeah, the Italians are our natural enemy. Like that's why, you know, we all had to be sent to Australia. Like we got sent 100 years beforehand. Then all the Italians rode in and it's just like the natural battleground for Australia between the Italians and Irish because we have so much land in Europe separating us.
Googling Italian versus Irish and seeing what comes up. I feel like my new bit is going to be checking out Google's AI overview. Irish and Italians have had a complex relationship marked by both conflict and cooperation. Mm-hmm. Italian immigrants in the 1880s were willing to work longer hours for less money than the Irish, which led to street brawls.
Mm-hmm. Huh. You should just keep a running scoreboard of like in... how many countries Irish versus Italians are considered white, and then like whoever's the most white wins.
Quote, shocked to see the photographic images and video of Mr. Juan Bernabe and to read the statements that accompanied them. Lazio announces that it has stopped with immediate effect all relationship with this person, given the seriousness of this behavior, the Capital Club said in a statement.
Yeah, the statement that accompanied the photo was, hey, check this out.
Quote, the club realizes and shares the pain that the fans will feel at the loss of the Eagle in the next home games, but believe that it is not possible to be associated with a person who, by his own initiative, has made the continuation of the relationship unacceptable.
Right, so the Eagle's got to go with him. They kind of, are they bonded, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask why they have a falconer, but there you go.
Yeah, that's the real lead that I feel like is buried in this story. Is like, why does this football club not only have a real Eagle mascot, but a guy whose full-time job is to be a falconer?
Do you think he makes full-time money off that? That's a lucrative career.
Well, we were just talking the other week about an American college team with
the big old bull.
Yeah, they got that steer we were talking about.
Was it a steer?
One of them had a tiger.
Yeah, they had a live tiger in a cage, and then they were like, "We think the tiger's starting to get upset by being wheeled out in front of tens of thousands of screaming people."
The tiger just has performance anxiety. That's all.
Yeah.
Try a guy in a suit. Just put a guy in a suit.
They've been doing it for years.
We need to get the tiger CBT so it can like really figure out its own emotions and performance and anxiety before being wheeled out before thousands of drunken goons.
Not cock and ball torture. Yeah, we're not doing cock and ball torture to the tiger.
Yeah, cock and ball torture on animals seems illegal, but cognitive behavioral therapy might be beneficial.
Very good for them, yes. Examine
that's what
that
Siegfried and Roy's whole
from.
Thing was.
Yeah. Hey, all these people are screaming because they're happy, you know? Just think about that. Don't think about how scared you are. I think if we can get Flavor Flav into a Duke's Mayonnaise costume, we can get a guy into a tiger costume, you know? And also, we can get a guy into an eagle costume.
Or a tiger into a guy costume.
Yes.
Hmm. Let him loosen the stance and see how long it takes him to figure it out. Guy's like, going apeshit.
It's just like a super realistic, like fake kind of latex skin costume. It's like there's a naked man running around on all fours biting people in the stands. And it's like
putting the mask from Drive onto the tiger.
It's just like this people being massacred in the stands by this long latex man.
Uh-oh, the long man has made its way into the crowd.
Release the long man.
Halftime games. The eagle, a bird that symbolizes ancient Rome, traditionally flies over Stadio Olimpico before home games. Yeah. What else does an eagle symbolize? What else do you associate the eagle with?
Oh, ancient Rome.
Stuff.
Ancient Rome. Yeah, you know, like that Roman salute that they've got. Bernabe said he had no regrets about sharing the images. And you know what else he has none of now? Egrets. Because he's no longer handling birds at their games.
What? Sorry, say it again.
Egret, like a female eagle? He had no regrets.
I
don't
think he had an egret in the first place, to be
fair. I don't know if it was a male eagle. It didn't say.
I don't think a guy like this is going to have a female eagle. Come on.
Yeah, hey, I cannot work with the female eagle.
You
want me to work with the female eagle? She will not listen to me. She will not do her job. She is very emotional. My God, get me a male eagle, please.
Look, okay. I confused egrets, the heron-like bird, with egress, the joke from... It's a Terry Pratchett joke about the word for exit, like egress, sounding like an egress, like a female version of an eagle. So that was just not even really a pun. There was absolutely nothing there, and it was on shaky ground in the first place. And I know this, all right? But that Italian accent was so good, I had to leave this part in. If you've already written in about this... Calm the fuck down, all right? Take it easy. I'm bearing my soul to you right now, leaving in such a foolish mistake, because I wanted you to hear that beautiful Italian accent from a wonderful guest. I hope you accept this in the spirit with which it was given. Hopefully I don't have to do another one of these for the rest of the episode. Stay safe out there. Wait. Lazio suspended Bernabe in 2021 when he was filmed performing a fascist salute at the end of a match and chanting, Duce, Duce. which was the name used to praise former fascist Italian leader Benito Mussolini. Quote, I admire him so much, Bonave added in Monday's radio interview.
I can deal with fascist like, salutes, yeah, but I draw the line at dick pics.
Yeah. So they suspended him and was like, you're okay. We're coming back now.
I can accept the fascism, but I draw the line at getting your hog out.
Yep.
Holy fuck.
I tried to find his like dick post, but I couldn't. He apparently posted this on Instagram, like a picture of his penis.
Well, he's living out loud. It
says prosthetic, but is it prosthetic?
Like, I don't know what
is the surgery he's had.
I wonder if prosthetic dick stuff is like breast implants where like I
can you just put in a little padding?
Well, because I kind of assume that there is all sorts of like good cosmetic surgery happening out there, right? Like people are getting expensive,
like
high quality cosmetic
yeah.
surgery done where it's sort of happening and then you go, oh, that person looks good, but you don't sort of like market or whatever. Whereas there's also like deliberately and otherwise cosmetic surgery that people get done where you go, wow, you look crazy now, you know? And I realize that for some people, they want to look extremely worked on. They want to look artificial and everything.
So you think he's like the cat lady, but with his dick?
Well, some people...
Rest in peace, like, the cat lady. Died last week.
There are fake boobs that look insane and are covered with like various sort of directional scars, depending on what sort of surgery you got, all that kind of thing. I'm wondering, is there like a high quality dick implant where you can't tell, or do they all look like the Frankenstein style ones that I have seen in my perusals?
Like I've Googled penile implant and it says it's a thing that helps you get erections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's ones that they like put pumps in them and stuff.
Yeah, you get
like,
a BBL for your cock.
They legit give you a little thing that you hook up and you inflate it with like a little hand pump.
Like Austin Powers style.
Yes.
Or what if it was like
that's a Swedish penis pump. Really
what
is
if it's
bag,
really
baby?
Off the wall and it's like getting a hair transplant surgery, but like moving all your pubes onto the shaft of your cock so it's like a toilet brush when you get hard?
It's probably that.
Plane full of Turkish dick implant guys.
Getting
a plane coming back from Istanbul.
That's
guys.
They're all
happening.
Having the little donut little in their crotches.
Yeah. All coming back, no more hair on their heads. What? I wonder what they were. I'm getting the cosmetic surgery done to just swap the skin from the shaft and the balls. That's all. I would like the shaft to be covered in ball skin and vice versa.
Smooth ball, wrinkly cock.
Yeah.
I'm going for something unique. I want it to be memorable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want my dick to look like my fingers after a long bath.
And the balls.
Extra grip.
And the ball's perfectly smooth.
Taut. Mm-hmm. Taut.
Aerodynamic.
Fucking hell. Some of this stuff feels distinctly European. There's another European country that we regularly look at, and that is, of course, the Netherlands. It's time for Netherlands Corner.
Everybody, I'm from Holland. Isn't that beer?
This comes to us from the NL Times. Parachutist lands in bonobo enclosure at Ouwehands Zoo.
What's up, guys? Surprise!
Hey. Imagine if that was on purpose.
Getting in there. Oh, well, while I'm here, boo! You know?
Like, one thing I am kind of obsessed with is, like, animals' perceptions of us. Like, what does a crow think of a person? But imagine you're just, like, a bonobo, you're chilling, like, fucking jerking off in front of, like, people, like, looking at you, mouth agape.
That.
And it's just, like, a guy in, like, a fucking whatever material is used, like, fucking parachute silk suit, just, like, falls in your enclosure.
How would
like,
you make sense
what does
of it?
The bonobo feel?
Yeah. Like, is it so far outside of their understanding that it doesn't even strike them as weird? They're just like, oh, it's a man. Or do they have enough comprehension to be like, something about this isn't right. Something about the fact that this guy just sort of slowly descended from the sky.
Fell out of the sky. And he's not wearing the zookeeper uniform.
Yeah. Mm.
I think like something that we've definitely covered on the show before is the impact that people's interactions have on primates, including like showing them phones and devices, and the zoo having to say, please stop showing your phones to the monkeys.
Don't especially show TikToks to the monkeys.
Especially the teenage ones, because they become sullen and withdrawn after they don't get enough screen time.
Just the teenage monkeys just posting on 4chan after seeing like 4 TikToks.
Yeah.
Who somehow radicalized the apes.
They'd love it so much.
Monkeys would love an iPad. And I've seen those videos of like chimps and stuff just leaning up against the glass while somebody serves them their phone, and they just sit there like in a very kind of listless and half-hearted way, just telling them what they want them to do with the phone. Next. Yeah, that one. Next.
We should show them People magazine. You know, we should show them Zoo magazine.
Yeah. Yes.
I think they're ready.
If I were single, I would be down there letting the monkey do all the swiping for me on Tinder.
Show the monkey, like Lana Del Rey, you know, just make them really sullen. Show them Tumblr.
It's so hard to like start that conversation when you first match with someone, because you've both done this dozens of times and just being like, hey, how are you, kind of sucks. Imagine how good the icebreaker is.
Let a monkey choose you at the zoo.
My friend actually swiped on your profile. He's a bonobo.
My friend is a bonobo, and I...
Holy fuck, you're friends with Bonobo? No. Not Bonobo. Hey, Bonobo.
Yeah, I'm doing some research into the mating instincts of bonobos, but I do mean his instinct for who I mate with.
And he liked what I'm trying to, yes, he did.
He really liked you. He got agitated. He started banging on the glass.
Spray him down. It was horrible. But seemed like a good side.
Just like the effect that like just massive knockers have on apes. It's just like just fucking slamming on the glass.
I didn't know this was possible.
It's just like what sort of like the, and this is from the stupid fact that I had to read Jane Goodall's book 4 Lines Led by Donkeys and did an episode on the Tanganyika ape war. Like apes, my job is ridiculous, but the effect that like human interaction has on apes, like they can't necessarily fully conceptualize like human things, but they can figure out the function of using them. So you could fully teach an ape how to use Tinder.
Yeah just so that you're getting them to say good and bad.
You could show a lady ape Girthmaster.
Yeah.
Coco wants Girthmaster.
And then she'd have to pretend she didn't recognize him.
More Girthmaster.
Well, as far like from what we know, you could show a lady ape a normal dick.
Yeah.
And they'd go, is this the Girthmaster? Is this the Girthmaster?
Oh, that's the Girthmaster.
Flashcards of cock showing it to an ape that you've taught sign language.
Coco wants Girthmaster.
More girth.
Girth for Coco. Girth for Coco.
A parachutist accidentally landed in the bonobo enclosure at Uehens Zoo in Hrenen on Saturday afternoon. No injuries were reported. The parachutist was supposed to land on the center circle of a nearby football field where a new artificial turf was being inaugurated.
Like cutting a ribbon? What the...
Yeah, he's just coming down scissors first. However, due to unknown circumstances, the man veered off course and landed inside the bonobo habitat.
Man. You gotta, like, if you realize as a parachutist that you are A, off course, and that B, it appears you are going to accidentally land in the zoo. Like, there's probably not that much time to be scanning and trying to get a bead of which enclosure you want to land in.
Yeah.
You're desperately hoping you don't fall into, like, the lion or the tiger one, you know? A bear? You don't want to be in there with a bear.
No, you want to be with the dick-dicks. That's probably your safest bet, is, like, train yourself to get really good at spotting dick-dicks at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, shit, I'm making a beeline for the dick-dick enclosure.
Fall in there with some antelopes. I wouldn't mind falling into like if they got otters or anything like that, that'd be fine.
You just gotta look for the enclosure with the most anxious animal. Like, so they're more afraid of you than like they're feeling existential. They don't like don't know their place in the world. They're like unsure of their occupation as a zoo animal. Mm. And you just land in there and then they're just like looking at you.
Meerkats, ideally in this case, you know, ideally a primate, which may fate you're coming is that of a god.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or help you find a girlfriend.
Yes. Yes. Oh, while I'm here, just... this way for the Uggos. Doing sign language for Uggo.
And then there's just like families going to look at the apes, and the ape is pointing at like people in the crowd. He's like, Uggo, Uggo,
what's that
Uggo
sign he's swiping doing? Left. What's that sign he's doing?
That bonobo just pointed at my wife and then gestured swiping left.
Yeah.
Why is the bonobo gesturing at my crotch and saying, bonobo want girth?
Zoo director Robin DeLange said the parachutist was fortunate that the bonobos were indoors at the time of the incident.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
Mm.
Let him out. If he made his way into the enclosure, I think let him deal with the consequences of his actions.
Yeah.
Let him mingle with the bonobos. Quote, he's extremely lucky, 100 meters further, and he could have landed in the elephant or lion enclosure, DeLange told News.
I reckon like the elephants will probably be pretty chill, to be honest. Like, I don't think the elephants are going to stampede you immediately.
I think it depends. If there was, like, maybe if you landed, like, right next to one of their babies, they will truck you. They will smush your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Which I would not like.
The zoo plans to meet with the football club to prevent similar incidents in the future.
Once again, it's the football club.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Common problem here.
Do you need a meeting? Could the email maybe be like, maybe don't have parachutists?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you need a parachutist? Is that necessary?
Could you not get like
a guy in
Flavor
suit.
Flav to come
Flavor
down?
Flav. Is the long man.
The long
is
man.
Is the issue like the foot? Like, I don't think we can say that the parachutist was like engaged by the football club so much as the football club maybe gave parachutists permission to use their large patch of grass as their landing zone, right?
No, I think this was entertainment.
Yeah, he was like, he's landing in the field, right?
Yeah, he's
as part of the inauguration.
He's part of the,
They were like, hey, is it a good idea for us to get a parachutist? We're right next to the zoo. And they're like, well, yeah, I'm so fucking
what could go wrong?
Yeah, this guy's a professional. Yeah. He's not going to land in the fucking bonobo enclosure. Come on!
But also as well, monkeys famous for being able to climb. Why is the monkey enclosure like open air? Surely there should be some form of net above it.
Yeah.
I feel like they're usually pretty open air. They often have like a moat. You know,
they
do have a moat. Wall.
Ages ago we talked about that the baboons that were in the testing facility in Texas somewhere where they just learned that like if you put barrels on top of each other, the barrels become taller and they just climbed the barrels and got out of there. Like,
nice.
Put a roof on your baboon enclosure.
Yeah, the baboons are experiencing like levels of intelligence as the same as me when I was 9 playing Half-Life 2.
Yes, you can get out of bounds of the area. You can figure it out.
What a game. They need to put that shit out on PS5 so I can play it.
That'll
happen. This must never happen again, they said. We need to get a good parachutist.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to
hit
land there.
A fucking football field.
I think he knew where he was going.
Yeah, he saw the zoo. A chance.
He was playing the long con. Like, I am the football team parachutist, but I really just want to meet some bonobos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to meet bonobo.
I want to meet a bonobo.
Square pusher, bonobo.
I want to meet a bonobo, and I want to meet my soulmate. You know? I've tried everything else. I haven't tried letting a bonobo pick for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know? You don't know it's not going to work until you try it.
The cause of the mishap is under investigation. Both the parachutist and the zoo staff confirmed that no animals or people were harmed during the landing.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the cause is kind of like...
You missed?
Like, what's the lesson you hope to learn from this other than, like, just finding out that there's wiggle room in parachuting? Like, what could you possibly find out? Oh, my God, the wind exists. Fuck, we didn't factor in the wind when we thought about this.
Don't skydive aiming for a place that is right next door to the zoo? That's all. It's kind of the main thing we can learn from this.
How close is the football pitch to the zoo?
Yeah, is it like right next door?
Yeah, what if it was like 5 kilometers away? It's just this guy's like unbelievably incompetent.
Maybe as soon as he's out of the plane, he's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the problem when you apply to like 100 jobs on LinkedIn, you get interviews and you don't even know what you're interviewing for. You thought you were interviewing for zookeeper. Suddenly you're like in the air jumping out of a plane. It's like, go to the zoo.
I think we're inaugurating the bonobo enclosure or something. I don't know. Here we go.
A gig work parachutist. He's just like accepting the job on his phone. He's like, I'm in the plane now. Okay. Zoo.
He's got four different apps open from the various companies.
They're all pinging at the same time.
Fuck. Which one was I supposed to be doing?
They seem to be very close to each other.
Trouble brewing.
Looking on the map, they're right next to each other. There's the Ouwehans Dierenpark, which is Dutch for zoo, apparently. And right next to there's a lot of Sportpark Blaschaal.
What could it mean?
Sportvereniging Candius 66. Sportcomplex, one word. Tennis club, one word.
What a beautiful language. And a beautiful people.
Mm-hmm. I hear they're tall.
Yes, I believe they are. Are they the tallest people on average in the world?
Are they really? No, that cannot be
true. I think the tallest country on average, I'm pretty sure.
I went to the first music festival I've gone to in a very long time, and I bought a raincoat before I went. And ended up ordering one from a Dutch raincoat company, which had a one-size-fits-all raincoat, and it fit me just fine, and I'm a big fella, you know?
You just look like you're in the Matrix, just like going down to the floor.
As of 2020, the Dutch were the tallest nation on Earth. The average Dutchman is 182.5 centimeters tall. The average Dutch woman, 168.7 centimeters.
Got some big gals over there.
Yeah, height masters. Real height masters over there. Hey.
And what about the girth? What's the girth like in the Netherlands?
I don't think it's good. That's my suspicion.
Mm. Just like changing the parameters of what girth means to also mean length.
Hey, if he'd landed in, say, the penguin enclosure, he might have squashed some eggs. We talk about eggs in a segment we call Big Egg.
What's big and small at the same time? Big egg, 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 big egg.
Oh, big! I want a big egg. For breakfast, eat something the size of my head. Hop out of bed, toast up a whole loaf of bread. Won't eat for a week because I'm gonna stay fed. Big egg this morning, frying it up while I'm yawning. Realization is dawning, egg is too big. Don't own a pot, it will fit. Egg white all over my shit. Crack in a pan that blots out the whole sun. Cook up an omelette that must weigh a ton. Flip it and serve it and eat, I deserve it. Big egg means my day has begun.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Extended edition? Was it always like that?
No.
Well, I mean, the Vino bit is new. Vino, I think you should do a longer version. It's going to be four... Great. Five
you could be in the Hilltop
easy.
Hoods, Vino.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, Vino, eat shit.
This is from What Poultry, WATT, IEC rebrands to the World Egg Organization.
Finally.
Yes, about time. Get that branding on lock. The International Egg Commission, IEC, has changed its name to the World Egg Organization, WEO.
Funniest thing to become a conspiracy theorist about.
WEO man. Egg mandates.
World Egg Organization.
International Egg Commission.
Yeah. Commission to me makes it sound like they're setting up like a series of tournament rules for eggs. Yeah.
It kind of sounds like they said, we initially started off trying to make our shit sound like the International Olympic Committee. But those guys are too fucked, and now we've got to change it to sound like the WHO.
Yeah, which everybody
that
loves.
People also fucking hate. Yeah.
I mean, there is already conspiracy theories about eggs in the US. Like people who like the raw milk people are now starting to posting about like eggs in Europe because obviously like they're not washed and stuff.
Oh yeah, we're on that European unwashed egg shit as well, and it's way better. America,
yep, it is.
Yeah, your eggs fucking are fucked shit up. Together. You gotta keep them in the fridge. They
you
look
guys
funny.
Are so weird.
Yeah, you guys are weird.
You guys are weird, and you don't think you're weird. That's
they
the craziest
don't know
thing
that
about
they're
it.
Weird. It's crazy.
It's so odd. According to the group, the new identity allows it to modernize the organization's image, strengthen its global presence, and better align with its mission to support and promote the egg industry around the world.
It's all any of us really want.
All of those things for eggs?
Why do eggs need a lobby or organizing body? Yeah. They're eggs.
Particularly internationally.
Eggs kind of speak for themselves.
Is there an international egg standard?
I feel like we should start off by promoting the chicken lobby, surely.
No. Don't. We don't want to mess with the chicken lobby. The egg lobby, fine enough. End product. There's kind of a limited thing. The chickens, a lot more regulation.
What am I going on there?
I don't want to, you know, buy into their branding or whatever. I do kind of like the sound of world over international, because international to me sounds like it's a sort of an agreement between a lot of disparate bodies, like sovereign bodies, whereas world is like unifying. We're everyone, all citizens everyone. Of the world, you know?
We are, yeah.
No borders. Eggs are for everyone.
Eggs without borders, yeah.
Yep.
Yes. International kind of makes it sound like we've made NATO for eggs.
Yeah.
NATO. Like, I don't know.
Instead,
it's like people who are really angry at me on Twitter saying, like, why don't you support NATO egg?
When the spacecraft land and the greys come out and they want to talk to someone about eggs, we're sending them straight to the World Egg Organization, you know?
I'm having the vaguest flashbacks to us having almost exactly this riff about another egg-related thing of eggs being universal from another press release from a different egg body.
The universal egg standard?
I think eggs are for everyone.
Got some really funny except tiny eggs vegans. From our chickens the other week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it kind of happens when they get like discombobulated and they do like eggs with no yolk in them. And so they come out and they're like,
oh, that's fucked up.
Whites yeah, only? Like,
I'll send you a picture.
You got whites only chickens?
We got a couple of
Andrew, I don't think you should do that.
Yeah, I've been talking to them. Don't worry. I've been re-educating my chickens.
But most importantly, if you're making eggs for the greys, what are you make? What egg-based dish? Because you're not making like something that's overly complicated, like requires eggs as an ingredient. You want the eggs to come to the fore. You're not making a French omelette because you don't want the greys to be aware of France. So it's like...
I think you're doing a single fried egg. I think it's the beautiful simplicity of a fried egg with a little sprinkle of salt so they can see the constituent parts of the egg, understand what it is, appreciate its beautiful flavors.
And then you're like, there's warring factions within the World Egg Organization about like, is it going to be made over easy or not? True.
No one's saying let's give the greys a hard boiled egg.
Yeah,
you know that's insane.
Slightly jammy yolk for sure.
You want it? Well, maybe the thing to do is to serve them perhaps, you know, like a little range of eggs. You could serve them like a soft boiled egg, a hard boiled egg, a fried egg,
like a tasting menu. Those small eggs that you made.
Oh. Yeah. And then they're sort of, they're on the third one and they're turning to each other and going, is it fucking all eggs? Is that all they're eating down here? What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm just going to defer to the eggheads on this one.
Fuck. Quote, this represents more than a name change. It is a renewed vision of our role as the united voice for the global egg industry, driven by a clear mission to nourish the world through collaboration and inspiration.
I thought you'd be trying to nourish the world with eggs.
Eggs. Start with eggs.
Yeah, start with eggs. High protein, you know.
They're nourishing, yeah.
Then go to inspiration, I guess.
Yeah, I'll get the inspiration after that. Give me the eggs, and then I'll get inspired to do some different shit with them, you know. Yeah. I'll be cracking them into smoothies, drinking them raw. Rocky.
Yep, Rocky style. Yep. Additionally, the rebrand gives the organization a platform to better support its members and their businesses as they address challenges and opportunities in industry. That's interesting because we did another story just before about someone else who wanted to better support their member.
Hello!
Oh!
Ben,
No one is.
The comedian of the week! Play it. Fucking play it.
Mm-hmm.
You can always tell the ones that Theo's made.
Yeah, so
like a little sense of existential terror starts creeping in. You know? It's funny how people get mad at us when we don't play the Comedian of the Week theme, but they also get upset when we do.
I don't know if they do. They get upset with us about Crime Watch.
Yeah. Someone just told us the other day that they had been holding off on signing up for the Patreon because the Crime Watch theme was too long, and they were waiting until we shortened it.
That's insane. It's always the same length.
It's always been the same length.
Would you... That sounds a lot like that person is challenging me to make it longer.
Yeah, well, we're just going to fucking make it longer now, aren't we?
Yep.
I'm honestly worried about your mental health. It's always the same length.
Every week, all the drops get half a second longer.
Yep. Until sooner or later, it's all drops.
Yeah, all drop episode. It's just like listening to like a Plunderphonics album from the 90s. We got Michael Jackson in there. We got farting. Oh no, I got the Benny Hill music. So, like a sample of Bob Catter. I don't know.
And if this is your first episode, by the way, we probably won't play the Comedian of the Week singer for
at least
another 2 months.
Yeah, if you're just here because you like Tom.
Nobody's here just because they like me.
We're not doing that all the time.
We don't do it most weeks.
It's out of the ordinary. But every now and then, we have to force Ben to do it.
Yes, apparently.
He's got to take his medicine, you know?
Yeah. The WEO emphasized that from the member perspective... So from about waist height, the organization will deliver the same support and benefits, continue to deliver its existing services, and provide access to its conferences and events. In 2022, the WEO introduced a global initiative titled, quote, Vision 365, to grow EGG's reputation on an international scale. Now,
okay, quick question. Who is unaware of EGG's?
Well, to grow
Are
their
they
reputation.
Are they agnostic?
Fuck it.
You are!
Like this, but this is incredible to me because, have any of you ever been to like one of those like big industry conferences for like something that's so just unnoticeable to the wider public?
No, but I dream of it. One day I would love to. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to conferences for things that are around like, you know, like user experience and accessibility and stuff for like government services and apps and that kind of thing. And that's something where you can kind of tell yourself we're like improving things for people on some level, you know. It would be very cool to go to one that is like, we are massively changing. We are fucking destroying people's idea of what they thought they knew about eggs.
Yeah.
You know, everything you know about eggs, forget it. You got to relearn it all.
Well, like a couple of years ago, I did a thesis on independent craft beer brand formation. And I got invited to the European Brewers Conference to give a talk.
Oh,
I saw Ben's like, eyebrows go right up.
Yeah.
I was just like so unqualified to be there. It was like I got invited to talk on a panel with the head of marketing for Estrella Damm about sustainability. I'm just like, oh, fair enough. I got a free trip to Madrid. But also, twinned with that, my experience of probably how the egg lobby works is like, I used to make podcasts for like a massive consulting firm. So like, I understand how like bored and just like shitting out copy that all these people are. It's like, all right, well, I'm done making missiles to shoot at Palestinian children, so now I'm going to, like, work for the egg lobby? Like, I don't know, it's the same thing.
Eggs are inspiring. How can I make this 800 words long?
ChatGPT.
Yep, that is the answer. Yep. Now, do you any of you want to have a crack at guessing what more specifically Vision 365 might mean in relation to eggs?
How they're going to grow eggs reputation on an international
eating
scale.
Eggs 365 days of the year. Egg
Correct.
Day.
Yes. Yeah. But in a more specific way, the new initiative is a decade-long plan expiring in 2032. Why does it have to expire? That is intended to increase global average egg consumption to 365 eggs per person each year.
I don't think we need to eat that many. I guess that's 2 eggs. Every 2 days.
Yeah.
I
Yes, they mean on average. They're definitely not saying everyone one egg per person.
You're really eating one egg at a time, right?
Yeah.
You're not egg maxing. You're not egging.
Yes. You could be having eggs at every meal and egg maxing. There's definitely people out there that are like doing a 1950 style sit down cook breakfast like every morning before they go to their job where they're reading the newspaper, eating two eggs and a bit of toast.
That's two eggs, yeah.
And they're already doing enough for two people just by doing that.
The cavemen, the paleo guys are eating some eggs though.
They're eating like 20 eggs. The fucking liver king? He's having like 100 eggs a week.
Made a whole bunch of deviled eggs for our New Year's Eve party.
Oh, that, see? Deviled eggs alone.
There you go.
But I mean, like, to be fair, before I got very depressed towards the end of last year and was going to the gym very regularly, I was 100% eating 365 eggs a year. It was like, I would make like
five
eggs, scrambled eggs, like on a Tuesday, and then do the same like later in the week and then make like a Spanish omelet or whatever. Like, I was eating easily maybe like 15, 20 eggs a week.
Okay. I think the WEO feels the exact opposite about eggs, George, and that he should be counted. They want the outlier counted because
we need to get the average up.
Under the plan, the group tells the industry story and highlight eggs using scientific facts that prove them to be an essential health food.
We all know this.
It's so defensive. It's so fucking weird. Yeah.
We all know about eggs.
Everybody knows about eggs.
We know they're high protein. Vegetarians are usually happy to eat them if the chickens are in a high welfare environment. Yeah. You know, what do you want from me?
Eggs speak for themselves.
Egg Organization.
I know about eggs.
Yeah.
You think you're breaking through to people about eggs?
I mean, this
underneath the World Egg Organization is just like when you get to the final level of control and just Humpty Dumpty is underneath the building.
This is probably like a massive win for the WEO is getting like 20 minutes on a podcast.
Yeah. It's working.
Oh, I could really fucking go some eggs.
Sign up for their press release.
The fraction of the monthly Patreon income that this episode will generate is probably equivalent to the amount of funding that the World Egg Organization has. So you're already winning.
Ben, can you do us all a favor and put World Egg Organization into the description of the show, because that is going to turn up in somebody's Google alert.
Yeah, someone's got an alert for sure, and they'll have to listen to the entire episode.
Yes.
No, this is a main. This is a main.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Sorry, I got confused by Wednesday-itis. Hey, this was definitely an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. Thank you to the listeners so much for joining us on... It was just such a journey. You know, we went to places that I never even really thought about before, except earlier when I was putting the notes together.
Yeah, I've Spanish never told anyone dick. Some of this stuff.
A Dutch zoo. Somebody's eggs.
Yep. We're breaking new ground. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you?
You can find me online at gotitatguyneys. That's GUYNEYS. Find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, now on Red Note as well.
Oh.
Thank you, Xi Jinping. You can hear me on Beneath Skin, which is a tattoo history podcast about the history of everything told through tattooing. Obviously, I am a big fan of what I have coined the Australian sleeve, which is just getting tattoos on your legs and nowhere else on your body because you're in shorts a lot of the year. And Lines Up by Donkeys, a military history show where everything goes wrong. And I'm also the producer of Glue Factory, a podcast about literally nothing but riffs. So if you want to enjoy a comedy podcast that requires like a master's level degree of like knowledge of about Kurgans, but also pop culture, Russian literature, at times they speak completely in French. Check
course,
it out.
Of course, featuring some of our longtime friends from Trash Future. So if you like those guys, get over there.
And we know you do, because that's basically the only thing people talk about in the podcast section of our Discord. If you liked this episode, you can get more Bunta Vista by signing up for the Patreon. If you didn't, fucking keep it to yourself. All right, there's plenty of fucking other podcasts out there. You could be listening to anything.
You don't have to bring us down to lift yourself up, okay?
Fuck, man,
maybe
it's free.
Maybe you're the problem. Right? Oh, if everyone in your life is rude to you, maybe you should take a look in the mirror.
Yeah, if every podcast sounds bad, maybe you're the one who's not interesting, you know?
there's infinitely more comedy podcasts hosted by 4 to 5 maladroit Australians that you can listen to as well.
Take your sensitive ass back to Hamish and Andy.
Yeah, I bet you'll be fucking chuckling along to that, won't you, you stupid dick? And again, if you did enjoy it, patreon.com/pointavista. We will see you maybe on the bonus episode, and otherwise we will see you next week. Bye. Bye-bye.